Well, good morning. My name is Pastor Rodney, and I'm the middle school pastor here at Fox River. And I'm fairly new to the teaching team, but I'm excited to be able to speak to you this morning. And we're going to finish up our Mirror series. So if you have your mirror, go ahead and pull that out at this time. If you don't have your mirror, you can grab your cell phone, just snap a picture of yourself and look at that picture as we ask ourselves our mirror question for today. And so here it is. Join me as we ask this. Mirror, what am I living for? And that's a question I know I've asked myself many times. And if you do a quick Google search, you'll find that everyone from Ray Charles to the Rolling Stones, from Conway Twitty to Katy Perry, have written songs asking that very question. Everybody seems to be asking that question, what am I living for? And I believe today that Jesus would have us ask that question as well. And so if you pull out your other mirror, God's Word, and just turn with me to Luke chapter 12, verse 13. If you didn't bring your Bible, you can find one of the Bibles nearby and just turn to page 1619. And while you're turning there, just let me start out by saying Jesus is very blunt in this parable that he's telling, so he cuts right to the chase. So I just want to warn you about that up front. And here Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and as often was the case, a large crowd starts to gather around, and it builds and it builds, and Luke tells us a little bit earlier in the passage that many thousands of people have now gathered around Jesus listening to what he's saying. And in the middle of all that, there's a man who kind of interrupts what Jesus is saying and asks a question. And so we're going to pick that up in verse 13 of Luke chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to him, Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me to be a judge or arbiter between you?" And then he said to them, the crowd, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. And there I will store my surplus. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get to enjoy all you've prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. And I don't know about you, but when I read that, I can just imagine all the people gathered around Jesus feeling just a little bit awkward. I don't know if you had siblings growing up, but I had three brothers. And I remember probably more than once walking into a serious conversation my dad was having with one of my brothers. And it's just kind of like you wish you hadn't walked into it. And then my dad saying these words, "Rod, stay here. You need to hear this too." And I didn't know if my brother was in trouble, or I was in trouble, or we both were in trouble, until about halfway into the conversation, I realized that my dad just had something very important he wanted to make sure that we knew. And even though he knew it was going to be awkward for him probably, and awkward for me and my brother, it was worth it for him to say, "Sit down. I want to make sure that you know this information." And I kind of feel that's what Jesus was doing here. He gets this guy, comes up and says, "Hey, tell my brother what to do." And I can imagine Jesus thinking, "I'm not going to tell your brother what to do, but you've brought up a bigger issue that I think all of us need to address." And so he addresses the crowd with that parable. Our question today is, what am I living for? And so just shout out to me what you think the man in this parable was living for. What do you think? Riches? Himself? prestige, yeah, whatever he could get out of this life, more abundance, more free time for himself, more pleasure, eat, drink, and be merry. And this is what I'm going to call the more mentality. More and more and more. More and more wealth. More and more and more things. Trying to satisfy cravings with all the things. More and more, whether it's pleasure, whether it's leisure time, but more and more and more. More and more. And this world would tell us, chase after more and more and more. And they would shove it down our throat. And that's the mentality of the world, this more mentality. That if you just have blank, you'll be happy, right? If you just have this, you'll be satisfied. And when we get those more things, are we ever really satisfied with them? See, the more in life will never satisfy. And when you get the more, you're still never satisfied. We can pursue more and more and more, and it's never going to satisfy the inner, deeper cravings that God's created in us. Think back to your first job. Anyone make less than $20,000 a year in your first job? Yeah. Things were pretty tight, probably. Tiny house, beater of a car. And you remember thinking, boy, if I just made a little bit more, maybe $25,000 a year, then, boy, we'd have some surplus, we could get the car fixed, life would be so much better. And before long, probably, you were making $25,000 a year, and maybe you had a little bit bigger house, and the car payment was a little bit bigger, and maybe you had an extra kid in the family. And all of a sudden, what you thought that little more that was going to be so much better for your life just wasn't there. There wasn't any more. But you thought, you know what? When I make $30,000, we'll have that buffer. Then I can start giving. Maybe I'll even start tithing. And by the time you made $30,000, well, now we've got a few kids. And the beater broke down. We got to buy a minivan to be able to haul everyone around. And we still feel like we're pinching pennies, rubbing them together to try to make ends meet. But when we get to $40,000 or $50,000, then we'll have some surplus. And with the kids came the driving them to soccer practice and all that goes with that, and the doctor bills, and the little bit bigger house to fit everything in. And whether it was $60,000 or $75,000 or $100,000 or $200,000, doesn't matter what the number was for you, a little bit more just never really seemed to make a difference, did it? And that's what it's like when we just chase after the more. Ecclesiastes says this: whoever loves money will never have enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. See, when your focus is on more, you're never satisfied. And when you get more, you're never satisfied. And this is a tough passage because we don't like people telling us what to do with our money. We especially don't like coming to church and having people tell us what to do with our money, right? And yet Jesus, as I look at his life, he never shied away from getting to the heart of the issue with people. And just a few verses later in this passage, he says this: wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so he's really not talking about our wealth or our things. He's talking about our hearts and where's our heart. And let me just kind of ease the tension a little bit, because Jesus nowhere says that wealth or evil is bad. He doesn't say that God doesn't want us to have things. Wealth and things are not evil. And so say that with me. Wealth and things are not evil. Big sigh, right? But here's the kicker. They can steal our focus. They can steal, underline steal on your hand out there. They can steal our focus. And so circle focus, nice and big. And what do I mean by that? Remember what Jesus said at the end of the parable? He said, "This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God." It's like he's saying, this is how it will be for somebody who is only focused on themselves and today, but has no thought for eternity. And so I just want to contrast that for a moment. The man that thinks about now only versus the man that thinks about now and then, now and eternity. And God's not saying to not be focused on today and to only be thinking about eternity. But what I found is that when I have a now and then focus, and I'm focusing on what God has in store for me for eternity, it helps me to live more intentionally in today, realizing that the choices I make today, the things that I do today, the conversations I have with people, in those, God's not just working in me to develop and change me for eternity, but he also uses me to make an impact in the lives of others. And that's a pretty awesome thing to realize, that God's working in my life and through my life when I'm willing to not just focus on now only, but to focus on now and then. Let me ask you this question. How many this week thought about eternity at all? A few hands out there. Here's what I found. It's not natural for me to just sit down and think about eternity. And so when we know we have forces that are stealing our focus away from that anyway, to be intentional about saying, God, help me to focus on the now and the then, to focus on your plans for me in eternity, because that's where our hope is. See, this now and then focus really plays out in every area of our lives, from our finances and whether we're storing up treasure just in this life or in eternity, from our time and what we're spending our time on, and are we spending our time in things that are going to have eternal significance, and how we raise our kids, and are we just teaching them to do the right things or teaching them skills in a sport? But along with that, are we also teaching them to honor God and to think about who they are in Christ and what he wants to do in their lives and the hope that he has for them in eternity? And so in every area of our life, we can ask ourselves, God, help me to not think in the now only, but to think about now and then. And I encourage you to do that this week. If you're married with your spouse, if you're single, just on your own, to stop and look at the different areas of your life and say, God, am I focusing on now only? And what would it look like to focus on now and then? What would it look like to have an eternal focus, eternal perspective on the different areas of my life? See, as we answer this question, what am I living for? I found that if you have a now-only focus, then the what am I living for really lacks purpose. But if we can have a focus that's now and then, it brings some purpose to our lives. Paul gives us some insight into this in 1 Timothy 6:17. He says this, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share." And read this last verse with me. "In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life." Did you catch that last statement there? Life that is truly life. Isn't that really what we're striving for anyway? There's three things that Paul touches on here that will help us to have life that is truly life. In this first one, he says, don't put your hope in wealth, but to put your hope in God. God wants us to trust him. And sometimes when we accumulate wealth and things, we can begin to put our hope in those and think, okay, I'm taken care of. My life's secure because of these things I have, rather than trusting in God.
putting our hope in God for the future He has for us. The second point Paul makes here is really maybe a little surprising for some of you, but he says this: put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. See, God wants us to enjoy it. Everything He's given us, He wants us to enjoy in life. Pastor Guy would say this: if you're not enjoying the blessings God's given you, then something's broken inside. Because God tells us He gives us everything for our enjoyment. And I've found that when I don't have just a me selfish mentality, more mentality, that when I'm willing to use what God's given me to make a difference in somebody else's life, that just helps me to enjoy life even more. And so the third point Paul makes is to be generous. He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. God wants us to be rich towards God, but also generous towards those around us, to not be so storing up for ourselves and saving for our own future that we miss out on the way we can impact other people around us in life. See, one of the problems with stuff and wealth is we have to protect it, we have to take care of it, we have to watch that wealth, make sure it's accumulating, if it's not, shift it over in our portfolio. The things we have can steal our focus and keep us from being able to focus on the eternity and what God has for us. See, the rich man's problem was not that he was rich, but it was that his purpose was to be rich, was to accumulate and get more and more. Deep down inside, every one of us desires for a life of purpose. We long for meaning. We want to make a difference in the world. And accumulating things, building wealth, saving up so we can have all this leisure time sometime when we retire is not going to provide purpose for our lives. More will never fulfill your purpose. When your focus is on more, when it's on the now only, you're always going to miss out on the real purpose God has for your life. So what is your purpose? What is our purpose? Read this with me. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, read this with me. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So do what for the glory of God? All. Everything we do. And so there's some of you out there that are businessmen for the glory of God. And you're running your business with ethics. You're caring for those that work for you. You're asking God for wisdom as you lead your business. And you're thanking Him for how He blesses you. There's some that are moms and dads out there that are loving God in all you do as you raise your kids, and by loving your spouse on those days where it's just not easy to love your spouse. And we all know there's those days, right? And by modeling kindness and goodness and gentleness and the fruit of the Spirit so that our kids can see that. Or for students out there, some of you are doing it all for the glory of God by the way you study hard for your classes and the way you choose not to cheat when everyone else in class seems to be cheating. Or the way you respect the teacher in a society where that just seems strange and foreign. But whatever we do, whatever you do, God calls us to do it all for the glory of God. And when we'll choose to do that with our lives, it'll help us to find the purpose God has for us in life. And sometimes that can be hard to stop and have that focus to do this all for the glory of God. But one of the things that I know has helped me, one of the things that Jesus was asked about over and over and over, was a question that He was asked. And it was basically this question: what should I be living for? And Jesus answered it this way. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And everything that He wants us to do can be summed up in those two commands, He tells us. See, God didn't create us to just be self-absorbed in life. He created us to have a relationship with Him and to have a relationship with others. And it's in the midst of those relationships that we find our purpose and our passion in life. So you can never find the purpose that God created for you until you find the creator of your purpose. And just like the man in the parable Jesus told, who he said this very night, your life will be demanded of you. Just like him, someday each one of us is going to reach the last day of our life here on this earth. And I believe the question Jesus would have for us is, are you ready for that day? Are you ready to meet God? If God was to ask you, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say? And there's all kinds of things that maybe pop into your mind. I go to church. I give to church. I've tried to do my best. I'm a good person. And all these things that we do, and yet in the back of our mind is this question, well, how good is good enough? And as I mentioned, there's a book that if you have more questions about that on your way out, you can grab one of those books called How Good Is Good Enough. But just to summarize real quick, none of us is good enough. Paul says this, there is no one righteous. We all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard of perfection. And because we've sinned, the consequences or the penalty for that sin is death, is separation from God. And yet God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to live a perfect life, to die on the cross in our place so that we could have forgiveness for our sins. Paul says this in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's God, by God's grace that we've been saved through our faith in him. And this is not of ourselves. It's a gift from God, not of works, so that we can't boast. And you may be here today and you would say, you know what? I came in today and if I died, I'm not ready to meet God. And my hope would be that when you walk out of here today that you'd be able to say, I'm ready to meet God. If he was to call me today, I'd be ready for that. And so I want to take a moment and just pray for you. But for those of you that know Christ, I also want to pray for you that God would help you and each one of us to have a now and then focus. And that when we get sidetracked, when our focus is stolen by the things of this world, that we'd be able to shift that focus back to a now and then focus, to have an eternal perspective on what God's doing in our life and through our lives. Pastor Guy is going to come up in just a moment and finish out this Mirror series, but join me in prayer. And if you're ready to make that choice to accept Christ as your Savior, then I ask that you just join me and do that as we pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us, for the blessings that you give us in life, for this life you've given us that you want us to enjoy to the full. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we could have forgiveness. And I just pray for each person in this room who's ready to make that choice, that today they would say, God, as best as I know how, I believe that you are. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I want to receive that gift of forgiveness today. Help me to walk in you with a perspective on the now and the then. And for each one of us in this room, God, I pray that you would help us to have that perspective, to not allow the things of this world to pull our focus off of you, but in all we do each day to have that eternal perspective and know that you desire for us to have life that is truly life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I know a lot of people, very appropriate. Thanks, Rod. I know a lot of you, like me, our focus is what now, what next? We're ready to move on, and it'd be very easy to transition today and coming up and telling you about the next series that we've got coming up, and I am truly excited about that. But in doing so, I also, realize this, that we can move so quickly off of these things that God has been doing in our lives these past 6 weeks. I mean, as we just reflect on the questions that we've been asking the mirror, I've heard so many stories of people saying, you know, God's worked in my life through this series, or God's worked in my life through this particular question. And what we thought would be the most meaningful thing to do is just again to pause and go, God, I know you've begun a work in my life through, and whatever question it may be for you or a couple of them, and my prayer is going to be that you'll continue that working this week, rooting it a little deeper, and then preparing me for what you've got in front of me that way. We decided that by putting some mirrors down front, we could have the opportunity to anchor a little deeper into some of these things that God is doing. And of course, you see just hundreds of names that are up here in the balcony already. And I'm wondering if you've received Jesus in these past 6 weeks as your Savior. If it would be a meaningful thing for you, again, just to come up to the mirror as you're looking into it and just to sign your name. Or if there's been this significant working of God in your life, and you can define significant, to say, God, help me to remember this. Even as I look in the mirror again and, you know, sign my name, my prayer is, keep doing this working in me that you began through this particular questioner, is when I was willing to ask the question and let your mirror, the Bible, show me what I needed to see in that. So we're only going to take about 2 minutes today for this. And for those that would like to come out, I realize in a service this big, you may have to just kind of scooch by somebody, and I'm sure that they'll let you do that to, you know, to come down in the mirrors. We've got them up in the balcony. Or for you just to be in your seat, just to kind of reflect on these questions again, thinking, what is it that God was wanting me to hear and to do? So if this would be a meaningful time to you, let me invite you just to come on down now, grab one of the markers that we've got in front of all the mirrors here, and do this, and then I'm going to close this in prayer in about 2 minutes today. Those up in the balcony, I'm not scooching you back to your seat. Take your time, and the mirrors will be open after the service, as well as there'll be people down front. If you just like to have somebody to pray with or talk to you a little bit more about what does it mean to receive Jesus. But let's close this series out, not as an ending, but as a springboard again into this ongoing working of God in our lives. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the way that you are willing to speak into our life if we are open to listening to you. It's almost easy to take it for granted, but we think about the times in our life when there wasn't that voice of God, and we weren't hearing you, and to be quite honest, we were so burdened down with shame. But to think that you've freed us through your conviction, speaking into our life, giving us the opportunity to respond to you. Thank you so much for that. Please continue to work in our lives through these questions and the question in particular that you've used in the most significant way. As we think about them this week, as we look into our mirrors to say, God, help me to see as you see and help me to keep the masks off. Soon to look forward to your ongoing working in our life, Father, and we know it's done one life at a time, even as each name down here represents. Thank you for that. And everybody in agreement today said, amen. Hey, God bless you guys. This